do believe, Lord. Many nights we prayed with no proof anyone could hear. In our hearts a hopeful song we barely understand. Now we're not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve? When you believe, somehow you will. You will when you seems like the summer burst too swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here, my heart so full I can't explain, seeking faith and speaking words I never thought I'd say. There can be trust you that there will be miracles in the name of Jesus. Let's give the Lord praise because we're believing him. This is the year of the miraculous. This is the year when signs and wonders will follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome Pastor Tom as he preaches on the miraculous.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as part of the new year, Pastor Lori and I have just sensed that God wants to do some miracles in our lives this year, but more importantly, he wants us to be aware of the miraculous power of God in our life. So we're going to start a series, and we're just going to move into this as the Spirit of God leads us and empowers us on living in the miraculous. Is that all right with you? All right. Have your Bibles available in just a minute. We believe that there are things that God tells us about that transform our lives. The sacrifice of Jesus, using our faith, the Word of God. But the miraculous power of God can revolutionize and transform our lives like nothing else can. And we're going to think more about this because I believe that many of you have been the recipient of God's miracles. So this series and today's message called Living in the Miraculous, and we're just going to move into this as the Spirit of God leads us, because our goal for the Spirit Life family this year is to go from just the natural, just get by kind of a life to a victorious, overcoming, coming supernatural life that God promises you. Can somebody say amen in here? All right. So here's what we have planned for the Spirit Life family. It's threefold. Number one, to live in the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit in a fresher and a greater way than you've ever experienced. Now, maybe you're here today, you've never experienced a miracle at all. Maybe you've experienced a lot of them, but we want to help you go to a new level. We want to help you seek God for greater things this year than you've ever experienced before. Number two, we want to help you learn how to receive and enjoy the supernatural blessings of God in your life. It's one thing for things to go right. It's one thing for you to have control of everything. It's another thing when, you know, nothing seems to be going right. You don't have any, but God's blessings just overtake you. Where things look like in the natural, this shouldn't be happening, but God's taking care of you no matter what's happening. And then the third thing is for you to be a minister of miracles. Not just to be a recipient, but a minister of miracles so that others can experience the supernatural love and power of God through you. All right? So I believe that these are things we need to embrace. We're going to remind you of those things. We're going to help you and encourage you as our church family and as your pastors to be able to walk in that. So just work with us. Receive from God. We'll be teaching from the Scriptures what the Bible says about miracles. We're going to be teaching you about what the Holy Spirit shares in the Word of God about the living in the supernatural realm. It's real. It exists. And, you know, there's a lot of people and a lot of Christians who are kind of skeptical about the supernatural. They're kind of skeptical about miracles. And I don't know if it's because when you experience a miracle, you can't explain it, because we don't understand it all the time or very rarely. Maybe that's the reason why we're skeptical, or we have doubts about it. Or maybe it's because they think, well, you know, this might be something that the devil is doing, because, you know, maybe the devil has supernatural powers and we don't want to be involved with any of that. So let's just throw the baby out with the bathwater and then we'll be safe. All right. Here, let me tell you something. You're here today because of a supernatural act of God. He said, well, my husband brought me. Well, that's a supernatural act of God. Or my wife brought me. Or my grandmother brought me, or whatever. No, the Holy Spirit brought you here today. He reached through the realm into the natural and for some way got you out of bed and got you here today. If you are saved and you believe in Jesus Christ, that's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle there is, that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, so there's all kinds of miracles that happen in your life on an ongoing basis that you may not even be aware of, or you may not even be, you know, you may take some things for granted. We're going to take any of that for granted. We're going to look at what the Scriptures say, and then we're going to embrace the things that I believe you really need to receive from God, that you may go, well, I tried that once, or I'm not sure if that's real, or if God wants to do that. We're going to try to eliminate a lot of the doubt, eliminate a lot of the skepticism. You know, see, one of the things that we need to realize is that if Satan tries to counterfeit a miracle, we can always tell whether it's him or not. Let me give you three things that you'll never need to be skeptical of a miracle again to say, well, maybe that was the devil did that, or maybe, you know, whatever. First of all, it will glorify Jesus as the Son of God. Satan is not going around doing things to glorify Jesus as the Son of God. Do you understand that? He's not glorifying Jesus as the Son of God. He will do that. All right, number two, to notice that you're on the right track, you always look to the Word of God for confirmation. Look to the Word of God. It will give you at least two or three witnesses that this miraculous act is of the Lord. And number three, always rely upon the Holy Spirit for direction and guidance. Okay? Those three things will allow you the freedom to embrace the supernatural. Because I talked to a lot of Christians, even Christians who are Spirit-filled. They kind of have that, I don't know about all this. Well, God knows all about it, and He wants you to know all about it, and He sent me here to help you. Is that all right? So just go with me. Here's what someone said, and I wrote down this quote. It says, Christianity is a faith in the miraculous. It's a faith in the miraculous. Take miraculous out of our faith, and you are left with nothing but a set of ethical instructions with no lasting power to change a heart without miracles. Subtract the miracles, and then Christianity just becomes another, I would say, religion or a philosophy of hundreds and hundreds in the world. Without miracles, we have no good news to share with anybody. The Bible is just a book of history and a book of philosophy. But the Bible is a book of miracles from first to last. Take away the miracles, and suddenly the Bible is no longer the Word of God. It's just another book, like every other book. You can no more take miracles out of Christianity than you can take light out of the sun. Take light out of the sun, and you no longer have a sun. Take miracles out of Christianity, and you no longer have true Christianity. You just have a religion that people are trying to think about in their mind. Now, whatever you believe about the working of miracles in the world or in your personal life or in people's lives, whatever you believe about miracles, the Word of God, the life of Jesus, and the working of the Holy Spirit give us unequivocal and indisputable evidence that they are real and that they are for you and me today. Psalm 77, go ahead and put this up on the screen. Psalm 77, verse 14 in the NIV says this: You are a God who performs miracles, and you display your power among the peoples. He's a God that performs miracles. Now, the definition of a miracle, there's many, many, many definitions of a miracle. I would just say it is the intervention by an outside agent, which we know as God, a supernatural agent coming into the natural realm and changing something that would not ordinarily be able to be changed or manipulated or done without that outside power. And He is the God who does this. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, we see miracles throughout the whole thing. Another scripture in Job 5, verse 9 says this: He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. That's our God right there. You might want, in the back of your bulletin, there's a place to take notes. I'm going to give you a couple of things that you can take home with today. So you may want to jot some of these things down and follow along with us. See, from a casual glance of the cosmos, that's one of my favorite things to look at when I want to see the glory of God, when I want to see the miraculous. I look at the cosmos, and now that we have all the technology with the space telescopes, it's amazing. It's mind-blowing. What the design that we can see, the perfection, the intricacy, the time that God took to create this planet for us to live on. So with a simple glance at the cosmos, to the wonder and uniqueness of a little snowflake, you could see the miraculous. From the birth of a baby to maybe just the answer of one of your prayers, you can experience the miraculous. There are miracles all around, miracles yet to be found, as the song would say. Now, here's what I believe about the miraculous, that it should be the normal occurrence for every believer. First of all, everybody needs a miracle. There's nobody who goes probably a day who can't who can't appreciate God doing a miracle in their life. I mean, we walk around with problems and burdens and fears and cares and calamities and crisis and temptations and tribulations and on and on and on, and sickness and debt. There's nobody who can't probably within 10 seconds come up with something in their life where they would say, you know, I could use a miracle in that area. Or I know somebody who could use a miracle in that area. They should be a normal occurrence in the life of every believer, but they're not. And why not? Well, like I said, could be skepticism. Could be that you think, well, if we just had miracles whenever we wanted to, we would abuse them. How many of you think, well, if I just could have a miracle anytime I wanted, I'd kind of abuse that. It'd be kind of like forgiveness, wouldn't it? Anytime you ask God for forgiveness, what does he promise to do? Yeah, you've never abused that now, have you? See, I believe just like God wants to forgive you, he wants to perform a miracle in your life. Thank you. You do. You do have to receive it. You have to receive forgiveness because it's a free gift, and you have to receive a miracle as a gift from God because he cares for you. He loves you. And if he had not said that he would do it for you, then I wouldn't believe it either. But he has said that he would do it for us. All right, follow along with me. Let's bring Jesus into the discussion. It's always good when you're in church to include Jesus. Isn't it? Well, at least in our church, we like to include what he has to say. So let's include Jesus in the discussion. And I want you to look at this, because here's what Jesus said. If you want to look in your Bible or take notes, John chapter 14, verses 12 to 13. And here's what Jesus says, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Everybody say, I tell you the truth. Have anybody ever said that to you? I'm telling you the truth. My reaction is, what were you doing before? You lying to me? But that's not the implication. The implication was, I always lying to you before. Now I'm telling you the truth. The implication, there's in the Greek, I tell you the truth, is comes from two Greek words, amen, amen, or in the King James it says, truly, truly, I say to you. What Jesus is saying here is, this is really the truth. I mean, this is so important. You got to pay attention to this. You know, I'm not hosing you here. I'm not just saying this because I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm expressing something that you need to get a hold of in your life. I'm not lying. I'm not blowing smoke. This is of utmost importance. I mean, we could go on and on and on trying to get you to understand that when he says, I tell you the truth, I'm truthing you. Truly, truly, truly. There is nothing more greater of truth. Okay, do you get it? All right, I don't have to go on. Okay. That's what he says. Truly, I tell you, anyone who has faith in me, or another version says, anyone who believes in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Another translation says, whoever believes in me, does anyone in here believe in Jesus? Amen. So would that mean that he's talking about you? Okay. Anyone who believes in me. Okay, he didn't just say any pastors that believe in me, any evangelists, any miracle workers, you know, any special people. He says, anyone who believes in me. All right, you got that? I can move on now? Okay, good. All right, anyone who believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will even do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. In other words, because I'm going to the Father, I'm going to give you the responsibility of the mission that I had here on the earth, or part of the mission that I had. I mean, we're not dying for the sins of the world, but as part of Jesus' mission, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That was a miracle. Those were miracles. He went about opening blind eyes, feeding the poor, helping the poor, raising the dead. He went about doing miracles, preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the poor. He went about doing these things, and he said, I'm going to the Father, now you're going to do the works that I have done, and greater works. It could be more works. I don't know what's greater than raising the dead. I don't know what's great. But perhaps one of the greater works is that we are going to go about raising spiritual people from the dead. If you've ever led someone to Christ legitimately, not just to, you know, talk somebody into what you believe. I'm not talking legitimately praying with somebody. They receive Christ. They become a new creature. Their life is changed forever. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that miracle when God comes into a heart and their spiritual DNA changes from dead to alive. Okay? It's just amazing. And we can be a part of that as part of the greater works that we're supposed to be doing. And so whoever believes in me will do those works. And then verse 13, he finishes by saying, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name," and here it is, "so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." So we're able to do the works that Jesus did, which we would call them miracles. And we can do that because whatever we ask in his name, in order for him to be glorified, he will do. Now, how many of you think that you could be asking Jesus for a few more things? I know you don't want to bother him. I was talking to somebody one time about, it's my friend, the bank teller. I go up, and he always asks me what I'm going to preach on Sunday. And then we got into the discussion about God and involved with our life and hearing from God. And he goes, well, I don't really ask God for a lot of things because I don't want to bother him. He's busy. He's got more important things to do. You see, this is a religious mindset that some people have. It's the man upstairs. It's the good Lord. He's upstairs. And it's nothing personal here, you understand? He said, we don't want to bother him. My problems. He says, now, if I ever get in a situation where I really need, maybe I'll ask him. So, it didn't say, whatever huge, insurmountable, life-threatening problems you have, then if you ask, I will do it. No, he says, whatever you ask. As if to say, what might not be important to someone else is important to God. Okay? Whatever, and we're going to get more into details about, well, what is really legitimate to ask for? I mean, is it the parking spaces? You know, is it the free haircut? I mean, what is it legit? I told you one time I was praying, it was raining, you know, terrible, it was a thunderstorm, and it was raining, and I was praying God for a parking space. And so I'm in, line, there's a person, I said, God, save that parking space for me. He goes, you selfish thing. He says, you need to pray that little old lady in the car gets that parking space, not you. So, I'm just saying, it's got to bring glory to the Father, but yet he cares about those things in your life that are important. Now, this sounds very audacious, incredible. It's unbelievable that God, Jesus would actually say, the works that I do, you shall do, but he actually said it. Now, some people want to, say, well, he didn't really mean what he said. Well, whatever. I don't have to argue with whether Jesus meant what he said or not. I actually believe he meant what he said. That's your pastor here. I believe Jesus meant what he said. I don't have to water it down, thank you. We don't have to water it down. We don't have to explain it away. Well, he was just talking about, again, sometimes people want to explain away miracles. They want to be skeptical that it's not really a miracle, that it's just a coincidence. All this could have happened. And I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of miracles in my life. The most popular one that I talk about quite often, and we'll probably show some pictures in this series, is when I got hit by a freight train. For those of you who are visiting or new with us, you don't know my story. At the 2 weeks before Lori and I got married, I was driving across the railroad tracks, right by Bradley Road and 76th Street, those railroad tracks. Freight train, 35 miles an hour, hits me broadside right in the side of the van. I walk away without a scratch. Walk away without a scratch. So, that was a coincidence. Okay. I really like those kind of coincidences. I had praying mom, and I had the name of Jesus on my lips, and not as an expletive. So, whatever you think the role of miracles is in your life, when you're in a situation where you're about to get hit by a freight train, whatever kind of freight train that is in life, the freight trains of life that you can't see, because the warning signals either weren't on or you weren't looking? That's when you want a miracle. But I'll tell you what, once you believe that God will do miracles for your life, you can go through your day going, you know, I have an advantage here that the works that Jesus did, I will do also. It's no longer, well, I wonder if that person will receive prayer from me. You know, now it's, I wonder if that person will receive a miracle from me. A miracle from me. You know what? Each of you, according to what Jesus said here, is a miracle worker. A miracle worker. Okay, this is one of the first things I learned in Bible school, when we were in Bible school. Everybody, look at your hands. Look at your hands. See them? See those hands? These hands that you're looking at, they can do something nobody else can do. They can do something nobody else can do. And these hands, properly laid on someone, can be the transference of God's power from the spirit world into the natural, and it can change. It can change the molecular structure of a person's body. It can change the thinking in their mind. It can change the DNA of their spirit. It can bring blessing. And throughout the scriptures, when blessing was imparted, hands were laid on. Not because there's any special power in your hands. What it is God uses that as a point of contact where now the spirit world comes through you and changes the natural world. Now, you got to understand, this is part of your responsibility as believers. The works that I do, you shall do also. Truly, truly. Really, really. Absolutely, absolutely. No doubt about. Okay? Come up with your own version of truly, truly. But that means that we don't have to wonder. The sign could be a wonder. We wonder what the sign is. We wonder how the miracle happened. You don't have to wonder because you're not the one who's in charge of making it happen. You are just the vessel through which it flows. Through which it flows. And we're going to talk about how those things flow through us. Okay, here's another scripture. For the skeptics, here's another scripture. Are there any more skeptics in here? No. Good. So here's, for those believers who want to believe in even more, Mark chapter 16, 17 and 18 in the New Living Translation, it says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Laurel, could you come up here for a second? This is my lovely daughter. We call her Pastor Laurel because she does some pastoring. We could call her a lot of things, but she's my daughter. Stand next to me here. Yeah, thanks. And hold my arm. Now, I'm going to walk across the floor here, and she's going to accompany me. She's accompanying me. She's company. She's accompanying me. She's my company. I talk with her. Hey, how you doing? You're doing good? Yeah. She's accompanying me. Yeah, we're having a relationship. We're talking. She's going with me. Wherever I go, she's going with me. All right? That's what accompanying means. All right. Another translation says follow, but it doesn't really mean follow. It just means wherever you go, they are there. What is there? These miraculous signs. For who? The pastor? You with me? Is the charismatic church? You can talk back to me. For those that believe, and here are some of the signs. They will cast out demons. Hey, see, I lost a lot of you. Right? Jesus lost a lot of you right there. Cast out demons. Well, do you cast out demons wherever you go? Oh, no, not at all. Only when they show up. Yeah, that might be where a lot of you go. I don't know. There may be a lot of demons where you go. All right? But when they show up, They're idiots. They're foul. They bring destruction. They come to steal. They want to kill you. They hate you. All right? Cast them out. Whatever they are, whatever you think demons are, cast them out. It could be a negative attitude. Cast it out. All right? It could be a circumstance that is just tempting you, and you just cast it out. It could be a spirit of infirmity where this thing keeps bothering you. Cast it out. How do I know if it's a spirit of infirmity, Pastor Tom? Cast it out. If the infirmity is gone, that's what it was. If it stays, maybe you need somebody else to pray for you for a miracle then, instead of deliverance. Okay? Now there's a couple of talks that we're going to get at into some more of the practical things about miracles, because a lot of times we're going through life needing a miracle for because we forgot to do what God told us in the first place. Well, Pastor Tom, my engine needs a miracle. I have never changed the oil. In fact, I've never put oil in it at all. It just doesn't seem to work anymore. It needs a miracle. Can you pray for my engine? See, I do have faith for fixing certain things. How many of you have faith for fixing things? All right, some of us have faith for fixing things. We go, sometimes we speak to it. Sometimes we lay hands on it. Sometimes we just turn on the power. These two ladies in here are so blessed to have me. I have three gifts in life. One of them is the spirit of finding things. One of them, the spirit of fixing things. And I forgot what the other one was. So here's what we got. Miracles are pervasive throughout the Bible. And they need to be pervasive and commonplace in a natural occurrence in our everyday lives. The Bible records over 123 different kinds of miracles. 37 of those were exhibited in the life of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus. 37 different kinds of miracles Jesus performed. Now, those are the ones that we know about. Okay, those are the ones that we know about that are recorded. I want to show you this scripture. It says in John 21:25, it says this. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written by one by one, I suppose that the world itself could not even contain the books that were written therein. Wow. So we got 37 he's recorded, but he's done so many that the books couldn't even record his. Okay, we are an extension of his ministry. We are called the body of Christ. Some are hands, some are feet, some are eyes, some are ears, some are nose, some are mouth. We all have different functions. We all have different functions, but we're all a part of the body. We're all here to carry out the ministry of Jesus. So that's why I believe that certain people are more gifted in certain areas. The miracle of finding things. You think, well, that's stupid, Pastor Tom. You know, finding things, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's a miracle for them. Yeah. They've been looking all day, and I walk in and I found things I didn't even know they were looking for. That's a gift from God. You know it is. Don't call me. This is not a separate ministry for me. But God's given each of us a certain gift. And you might be thinking, you know, I'm kind of good at this. And you never thought of it necessarily as a miracle. But you know what? Any supernatural endowment or impartation from God that gives you a skill or a gift that somebody else doesn't have, you know what? Supernatural, that's miraculous. That is miraculous. All right? It's miraculous, and you do something. That's why I said your hands can do something that nobody else can do. And you need to be faithful at developing that skill. Be faithful, full of faith in using that gift. So, you know, I mean, when it started and my wife would, you know, misplace something. I don't want to say lose, but if she would misplace something or forgot where she put it, you know, at first it was like, honey, let's just do that. Let's just put everything in this. Then you'll never lose it again. And I'm like, well, then she won't need me anymore. And I was gonna, you know, sometimes you get irritated when people can't do things like you do them. Nobody else, I'm the only one. You get irritated when people can't. Well, that's so easy. Why don't you just? And it's like, well, that's not the gift that God has given them. He's put you in their life so that you could perform miracles for them. I love this. When we had the snowstorm a couple of last week, and I mean, it was terrible. I mean, the roads were just, I mean, some of you probably got stuck and all this. And I was out getting somebody who was stuck in our daycare van, and I saw this guy running around in a snowplow truck, and he was just stopping wherever people were stuck and getting them out. And I'm like, this guy's got a ministry of getting people unstuck. He actually came up to me. He goes, can I help you? I said, I think I got it. But, you know, but I'm like, I was ready to step back and go, well, this is your gift. Get them out, baby. Here's the shovel. Go for it. You know, the thing about miracles, if you look in Scripture, and I was going to propose this. I'll pose this as a question. What do you think is the prerequisite, or in the Bible, if you look in the Bible, what is always something that preceded a miracle in the Bible? Being there and doing it. All right, but anybody? Before my daughter gives you the Bible answer? There is always a problem. There's always a problem. Okay, so here's the thing. You can't get around this, but every single one of us were born in sin. We were born into a sinful world. We were born broken. We were born with a world full of brokenness and problems. Okay? You can't escape it, except that when you realize that God came to deliver you out of the sin and brokenness that's in the world, you realize that you now are living in a life of miracles. It's called the kingdom of God, where miracles are commonplace, where every day you get to overcome the temptation that's in the world, where every day God has a promise for you to overcome one of those things that might kill you, or that might do you in, that might wreck something in your life or cause havoc. There's a miracle there that you can receive from God. A lot of you walk in the promises of God, and some of them you take it for granted. But I'll tell you what, don't take them for granted. Don't take overcoming temptation for granted. Don't take the power of forgiveness that God's given you to forgive somebody for when they hurt you. That's a miracle. God has to grant you forgiveness for somebody, or you could be living in prison, torture, torment, with bitterness, just an angry old man or an angry old something. An angry old something. So a problem is what is always there for a miracle to take place, an issue, a desperate need, something you can't solve without God's help. Is there something that you need changing in your life? Anybody in here? Is there something that you need changing in your life?
Yes.
Now, I didn't say someone. Something that you need changing. Hey, well, good to see you, Roy. Something. We all need something that needs to be changed that we can't change on our own, right? Well, that means you are a candidate for a miracle. And God wants to do a miracle in your life. How he gets that to you, that's what we're going to learn about. How he gets that to you. But let me finish it up. In the time that I have left, I just want to share with you three things that will help you understand how to receive miracles, okay? First, let me say this, that in Ephesians 1, go ahead and find this for me, Rachel. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20, it says this, that Paul prayed this for us. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. Now, that's a refrigerator scripture. That's something that you may need to put in your car dashboard or on your bathroom mirror. This is something that you need to get in your spirit. Lord, I am. If He prayed this, then it's God's will that we have it. Can you? It's an apostolic prayer. Can you believe this? If Paul prayed this, then I believe it's God's will for us to understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. Whew. All right, let's move on. This is the same mighty power, watch this, that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand. That's God's mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. You say, well, I think I'm beyond a miracle. This part of my life has already died. Well, according to Scripture, His mighty power can raise the dead. It may be something that you think is dead and gone, and God might be want to resurrect it. You know, we don't carry around the baggage of the past, but sometimes if it's something that died in your life and God wants to resurrect it, say, He's got the power to do it. He's got the power to do it. Something in your life, hey, you can always have God resurrect you to life. Always have God resurrect you to life. Now, if you have a problem, God maybe want to raise that part of your life to dead with to life, to, from the dead to the life, with that same mighty power that He raised Christ from the dead. Now, I don't believe there's a formula for miracles. Like all of a sudden, you know, something all of a sudden causes God to change the universe around you. On the other hand, there are some principles that we can put into practice. I mean, you just can't go abracadabra, poof, and there's a miracle. Or you can't go shilibamba, and there's a miracle. But there are some principles that help miracles go to work. So this is where I wanted maybe to take some notes down. I want you to listen to this. Okay? Some of the principles we'll talk about in the future are faith, patience, right? Faith and patience, obedience, prayer, those types of things create an atmosphere for miracles. But here, let me give you these three today. Number one, be up on the screen here. Number one, believe in the love that God has for you. This is a huge blockage of God's miraculous power for a lot of people, to believe in the love that God has for you. Now, some of you, you have a hard time with this because you're comparing God with people or a parent or something in your life or a teacher or an authority. Uh-uh. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just set that, if you can, set that apart from your mind and realize that God is not them. God is not imperfect. He is not up one day, down the next. He never changes. What He said will always be eternal. And here's what John says in his epistle, 1 John 4:16. He says this, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in His love. Now, that's what I think is the first step here, is to really believe in God for a miracle, is that He loves you so much to give you something you don't deserve. Okay? A lot of times we're not believing for the miracle because, well, we're not good enough, or I messed up, or I've been this way, or I've been ornery, and I haven't been good. You know what? I'm sure that you need forgiveness too, but you also need a miracle. If you look at the life of Jesus and the miracles that He did, I just thought about five of them, but here's one of them. You know, He's preaching, and all of a sudden Peter says, "Everybody's getting hungry, Jesus. And you need to send them home." And Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." And you know the story. Here's a little boy with five loaves and two fishes. Jesus prays over it, and he feeds the 5, 10, 15,000, how many people were there. He feeds them all. He didn't pray over this and go, "Now, Peter, I'm going to point to the people who are good enough to get this miracle." Okay? All the good ones over here, all the bad ones, no, you're in timeout. you don't get anything. See, that's what we think a lot of times is we're in an eternal time out and God's holding out on us. You know, I believe that God will do a miracle for you even if you're acting like the devil to try to change your heart, to try to follow him. You know, actually, when I got hit, right before I got hit by that train, although I was a pretty spiritual person at the time, I was putting, my eyes were off the road. I was putting a teaching tape in my cassette player, and I was looking at it, and I wasn't looking at the railroad signs that were flashing. I didn't see them because I was messing with my cassette player. Now, I don't know. That was a thin line there, don't you think? That God should have saved me if I was not looking at the road. So I share that story because you might be making a mistake. You may not be doing everything right, but God's grace, the abundance of his grace, causes you to reign in life. And what his grace is a miracle that you don't deserve. A miracle that you don't deserve. A renewed mind after you've messed it up on drugs half of your life. A new marriage after you messed up the last one that you were in. You know, whatever it is, a new job after you you messed up on the last job that you were at. A new life in Christ after you walked away from him how many other times before? He's not going to do a miracle for you, you know, if you prove yourself to him. He has a miracle waiting for you. What I mean by prove yourself to him is like, well, God, I've been good for a week now. Okay, however long you are doing everything you know to do, you still don't deserve a miracle. However long you can, now, obedience to the word of God can help miracles come, but he doesn't give them to you because you're better than someone else or because you'll never get that good to deserve anything from God. He gives it to you because he loves you. Okay? So we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. The second thing you need to believe is this. Believe in the promises that God has for you. Believe in the promises God has for you. How many of you know how many promises are in the Bible? I mean, kind of roughly. Pretty close. It's about 7,000 or so, maybe a little bit more. Yeah. Huh? The promises in the Bible? You can't get one promise fulfilled every day and get them all in how many years? 10 years. He's got a promise for you. So here's what I would say. Believe in the promises that God has for you. Find the promise that covers your situation. You ever done that?
No.
Yep. You got to open your Bible. You got to read it. Uh-huh. As my mom would say, you might even get a concordance. If you don't know what that is, I'm not even going to tell you. You're on your own. Find out where the promise is in the Bible and pray over it, receive it, ask God, is there a condition on this? What do I need to do to receive this miracle in my life? You said, I can understand your great power towards me. What is the promise that covers your case? All right, watch this. Peter said this in 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4, and we're almost done. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4, and I wrote this up, but this is the Phillips translation. But I really love this version. It says, he has by his own action, God has by his own action, given us everything that is necessary for living the truly good life, in allowing us to know the one who has called us to him through his own glorious goodness. Verse 4. It is through him that God's greatest and most precious promises have become available to us men, making it possible for you to escape the inevitable disintegration that lust produces in the world and to share in God's essential nature. Sin is creating disintegration everywhere around us. If you don't know that, then you haven't ever watched the news. You have never seen a talk show. Just look at the news, listen to a talk show, and you'll find out that the world is disintegrating around us, and that there are problems that nobody can solve. And here's what happens. God has given you great and precious promises that you can overcome the disintegration and the destruction that is in the world through sinful desires. Find your promise, believe in it, and I believe God will come through and give a miracle in your life. Now, some of the promises that God gives us are conditional, whatever. He says, if you do this, this will happen. That's still a promise, okay? A lot of times, people read a promise that's conditional and go, oh, in order for me to be out of debt, I have to give money away. I have to give money to God, or I have to do this, or I have to work. Sorry. Sometimes I got to clarify that there are conditional promises that God says, yes, this is going to be a miracle, but first, do this, or the miracle won't even stick. Okay, you gotta have like spiritual Velcro sometimes, because God's throwing miracles at you and they're just bouncing off of you, because you're not in a place, in an environment, in an atmosphere. You don't have the spiritual clothes on where the miracles can stick to your life. So back to my train wreck. I had been studying something. I had been preparing my heart. For what? I didn't know. I was just studying something very interesting to me. I was studying on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Well, his name is Jesus. His name means salvation. Okay, we understand. It's Jesus. Not an uncommon name. But the Bible says some things about the name of Jesus. And this is what I was studying. It says his name is the Word of God. So Jesus' name is the Word of God. So when you're saying Jesus, you're saying the entire Word of God. I mean, every knee shall bow under heaven, on the earth, and under the earth to the name of Jesus. His name is the Word of God. And then I remembered that the angels hearken to the voice of the Word of God. So when I'm saying the name of Jesus, the angels are like, okay, whatever needs to be done at the moment. So I believe when I said the name of Jesus in the moment of a place of death, the angels of God came to save me, because his name means salvation. And the Bible says that the angels are ministers to those who are to inherit salvation. Does this make sense to you? I mean, this is what my Bible says. You know, maybe somebody did this one time and the train just plowed them over. I don't know. It worked for me. And I thought I would tell you that when you say the name of Jesus, not as an expletive, but as a call for help. When you call for help, here's what happens. Jesus has already been there. He already went through what you're going through. The Bible says he went through everything that we went through, so that when we go through it, he can be there to help us. I love to study what Jesus has gone through, because he went through this rejection. If I go through rejection, Jesus is there. He goes, been there. Stinks, but I'm with you. It hurts, but, you know, God will give you a favor. It's confusing. You don't understand all of it, but you know what? You're doing the right thing. Love people. Forgive them. Remember, I went through the same thing. You know, whatever the temptation is that Jesus had to face, he's there with us. Miracles come, I believe, by putting your faith in those promises. So Jesus says, when the storms come, and they're coming, everybody has to go through a storm in life, because life's full of them. When the storm comes, build your house upon what is the rock? It's the Word of God. And you can open it and read it, study it, get it in your spirit. So here's what my recommendation is. If that's cumbersome, or if you don't have time for that, come to me. I'll find out all the other things in your life that are keeping you from the Word of God. You laugh. I've done this for people before. I found hours in people's lives. I threatened one time to, I said, well, let me walk around your day with you. See what else you do. That's the biggest challenge for most of us, is we come up with all kinds of distractions and excuses for saying, I don't have time for this. Okay, no, you just don't want to do it. It is. It's so much more lively here when you're here, Gina. Okay? Anytime God's involved with your life, it's miraculous. But we've got to let him get involved with our life and not tune him out and isolate him and compartmentalize him to Sunday morning or a certain devotional time. Miracles, you don't know when you're going to need a miracle. It could be on your way to work. It could be on your way home. You don't know when you're going to need a miracle. So you've got to be in a place where you can receive it whenever you need one. You know, at the end of revival services and church services and Bible meetings and worship, we get all spiritual, and then all of a sudden we get to a place where we can receive a miracle. Well, at the end of a church service, most of us don't need a miracle. Seriously, it's when you're out driving on the expressway and somebody crosses in front of you and your car's starting to flip over or something happens. You know, don't call Pastor Lori when that happens and say, could you sing a song? I got to get in the mood to receive a miracle. You got to live in the spirit place of the spirit where the promises of God are real to you, where when something unexpected happens, you know, you can say, I receive the power of the name of Jesus right here. And this happened to my wife, Lori, when we were living in Cleveland, Tennessee. It's another example was in that movie, The Prayer Room. And a guy comes up says, I think he had a gun. He says, give me all your money. And a little prayer warrior is like, I ain't giving you my money. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. Lori was at our house in Tennessee one time, and I was gone, and she had just got out of the shower, bathrobe and stuff, and all of a sudden she hears somebody messing around in the kitchen. And she looked, and there's this guy with this mask over. He had come in the back door or through the window or something. And she's going to hide, and then she realized, well, why hide? He's just going to come in here anyway. So she walks out, and she says, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Guy jumps through the window and gets and runs away. See, he's got to have some confidence and boldness that God wants to perform miracles on your behalf. You see, if you could see into the spirit realm, here's what you look like. Here's what you look like. If you've been born again in the spirit realm, you're like a light. You have the light of God shining through you. And you're walking through the spirit realm, and demons are like, oh. They're like, oh, how can we put their light out? Did you know? They don't need to put the lights out on people who aren't alive. They just need to put the lights out on people who are shining bright. So understand, you're in a war. Okay, last one. Believe in God's redemptive power for you. Redemptive power. It's a theological word. It's redemptive. What that means is his power to purchase you from the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of light. His power to redeem you from the curse of sin and death. His power to buy you as a ransom out of the curse of the law that is constantly on this world. So you can walk through this earth in abundant life, in abundant living, avoid many of the curses. And sometimes if you fall into it, the miracle working of power of God can deliver you out of them. It's a wonderful place to live. But I want you to exercise your faith in it, to believe in it, obey what the scriptures say, and then receive it. Feed your faith. Starve your doubts to death and let them die. Just feed your faith in God. All right, let me close with this scripture here, and then we're going to receive communion. 1 John 1:9 says this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." There isn't a greater promise that God has for you than to forgive all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to create you into a holy being, a saint separated unto God, under his protection and his provision and his guidance. What in your life today, you know, what area of your life today would you like to see something change? Spiritually? Physically? Mentally? I believe that God will gift you in any area of life that you want to see change. He will give a gift of a miracle to you today. You know, some of you can't sleep at night. That, I had that for a long time. I was awake and I couldn't figure it out. And I began to put my reliance on the scripture that says, he will give his beloved sleep. He will give his beloved sleep. Some of you walking around with pain or maybe emotional pain. And God says he is the healer of a broken heart. Whatever it is today, we could go through thousands of areas of our individual lives where we need God to intervene. So just bow your heads for a minute. And I just wanted to just glorify God today by what he has done in Jesus Christ.